of this day. You know, Nazareth, the people of Nazareth had a this day, and they weren't ready for it. They wanted to push all that truth right over the cliff. Remember that? You remember that?
Yes.
Okay. There is a this day for all of us. We mentioned that story about Tony Dungy, that he said, I always knew this day would come, and they fired him from, but he said, I didn't know it was this day. You got to be ready. Are you ready? This day, are you ready? There's probably a good anagram for the word ready, too, but I don't have it just now. Let's get into our weekly confession. Ready? Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. So if you would, turn to Ezekiel chapter 48. I want to take some time with this. Lay a little foundation, have a little school, have a little class, so that you'll really get the most out of this. But in Ezekiel, I'm asking you to turn there. I didn't turn there yet. Ezekiel, this is the last chapter in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 48, verse 35. And this is the conclusion of about nine chapters here where God is showing Ezekiel the measurements that he wants Jerusalem to have. And it was round about 18. This is the final measurements. And the name of the city from that day shall be, this is what the Lord is instructing Ezekiel, the Lord is there. And if you have a good reference Bible, the Hebrew name is Jehovah Shema, the Lord who is there, or the ever-present one. The ever-present one. He's here now. I'm not just talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the Spirit of the living God. I'm talking about the Father himself is here right now. You know why? Because you're here. You are now his throne. Amen? Say, well, that doesn't sound right. I don't care what it sounds like. That's what it says. you gotta understand that your understanding needs to shift into be conformed to his word. The name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. God revealed himself in the old covenant with several what they call compound redemptive names. There are more than that, but there are some names that he wanted to link together with redemption. And Jehovah Shema is one of those. Jehovah means I am. That I am. I am. He's not I was or will be. He is I am. He's the ever-present God. He is the God of the now. Right now. Now. When that need comes. When that temptation comes. When that shortage comes. Whatever it is. Now. He's there. He's there. When Jairus came to Jesus and Jesus said, oh, come and heal. He started walking, and then immediately somebody came up and said, don't bother the master. And Jesus said, don't fear. Immediately. Let the ever-present one jump up in your face, in your business, in your thoughts, in your mind, and let him redirect your thoughts and conform it to his ability. We just said that. This word is God's ability empowering me. This is his counsel. God, he's the ever-present God. He's in the now. Are you getting this? Whoa, I know you got it, but the thing is, are you getting it? This is a living reality. And it's compound redemptive. It means that he is in this, all of his redemptive benefits, all of his redemptive rights that he has delivered to you. Redemptive rights, you have those rights. This is God empowering you. God revealed himself in the old covenant with these compound redemptive names that are hooked in with redemption, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. And so on. The compound redemptive names is so that God's redemptive restoration, redeeming, everything that he is can be in that. And God never changed his name from Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you, to the one who makes you sick. Right. Never changed it. People have. People change it, but they're ignorant. They just don't know who he is. They just have doctrine and theologies and things like that, and they see the prayers aren't answered all the time and according to whatever. But did they pray the right prayer at the right time? There's many types of prayers. And if you add, if it be thy will, to healing, it's not going to get done. I'm just telling you that now. It will not get done. I think there was a thud that just came down here. But the prayer of faith will save the sick. That's a promise. And if it be thy will is not a prayer of faith, because the prayer of faith knows the will of God. Bingo. These are covenant names, redemptive, compound redemptive names that he sowed us all in to redemption. And you know, when Jesus was born into this world, all of those names were downloaded right into him, and he is everything that those names are. All morphed right into him. It says in Hebrews, it says, quoting the Old Testament, Paul says, a body I have prepared for you. How was that body prepared? It was beginning to be prepared in Genesis when God said he's coming and he's going to kick your head in so hard he's going to bruise his own heel. But he will do that. And the prophets and all of the word of God about Jesus and what he would do, who he was, the manifestations that would take place and all this, what he would pay for with the stripes, what he would pay for with his death, what would happen when he rose from the dead. These are the things, and this was one after another, precept after concept, line upon line. He was preparing that body. And that body, when he was born, it was filled with everything that the Father is. Everything that the, and it was empowered by the Holy Spirit. When he was baptized in the Jordan, that Spirit came upon him, empowering all of that word, the same word that created the entire universe. Jesus was a powerhouse waiting to happen. But he didn't do it because he was the Son of God. He did it as a man. That's why you can do it too, because you have the same spirit. Jesus said so. He said, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now you have a cheering squad at the right hand of God. His name is Jesus, and he is an advocate with the Father to make good what you declare. There's a little ring in the mic. Can you hear that? Okay. So he is linked. His presence is linked with healing. His presence is linked with provision. When he multiplied the fish and the bread, his presence is linked with his peace. Peace. Storms. Do you know, as corporately at the body, we could speak to that war and speak peace to it? In fact, let's do it right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we unite our hearts with what Jesus said, my peace I give to you, the same peace that calmed that hurricane. Father, in the name of Jesus, we release our faith in the ability of your peace, and we release it through our mouth now. Everybody say this. Ukraine, peace.
Peace.
Russia,
Russia.
Peace.
Peace.
We send angels now. We nullify the plans of the wicked one to destroy, kill, steal, and destroy. We nullify your plans now in the name of Jesus. Righteousness, right standing with God, with nothing between you and God whatsoever. Righteousness, he's in this. He is in this, and he says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You're no longer in Adam, you are in Christ. His presence, Jehovah Shammah. The Lord who is there. That's, now listen to this. Listen carefully here. From Ezekiel chapter 40, right up to 48, he is downloading the dimensions, the measurements down to the inch, all the architecture and everything of Jerusalem from the temple, from the inner temple on out to the walls, even the three gates on either side, on the north, south, east, and west, three gates on each. It's all designed. He downloaded to him exactly what he wanted because he wanted to live there. Now listen. When you were born again, you accepted Christ, your spirit man was recreated. It was designed and measured by God. Did you know that each blood cell that you have travels 60,000 miles a day? That you have 9,000 taste buds on your tongue? Look, your new creation on the inside of you has been planned out, measured out. It has been meticulously designed to contain God. Because everything in the Old Testament is looking towards its fulfillment in the New Testament. God didn't want to live in a temple made with hands and behind stone and in a curtain 3 feet thick. He wanted to live in you. His love is for you, so intimate for you that he wants to dwell in you. He wants to be there, do it with his anointing to do the work that you need done in your life to complete his plan for your life. It's all planned out. All of that stuff was planned out. And when you were born again, just like that, your life was turned around from death to life, from curses to blessing, from sickness of mind and soul and body to health and order and strength and empowering so that you could go say the same thing to other people, that this is the Jesus. This is the real Jesus. This isn't a bunch of religion. This isn't a bunch of do's and don'ts. This is the living person that I not only have a relationship with, I fellowship with him. And he is the Lord who is here. I just felt like a silverback gorilla, right? He's here. Oh, you got to know his name. Know his name. Look at this. Psalm 9, verse 10 says this. And they who know thy name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken them that seek thee. Has not forsaken. That means he's with you. That means he's Jehovah Shammah in you. You just know his name. And his name evokes trust. It produces faith and confidence in him. Just knowing his name. The name of God covers every need that you'll ever have. And he sealed it up in the redemptive plan for mankind. So you can't miss it. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't Jesus wonderful? Isn't God good? And by the way, that name has been conferred upon the church. It's been given to you. Do with what you will. It's been given to you. God himself bound himself to those covenant names. And anybody who binds himself to him by being a doer of the word will find out that he is a very present help in the time of need. And he is the ever-present God. And he is the God who is there. Not there, here. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Praise God. He is present, number one, he's present in his word. The word is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He is present in his Word. When you speak the word, I'm telling you something here. It always astounds me how God anoints flawed men like me. I'm telling you. God, people who have failed, who have had attitude, whatever. How he anoints them to preach the gospel. Paul said, this is how the gospel is preached, for the foolishness of preaching. He himself said that, and he was a preacher. And he said that. The foolishness of preaching. But I want you to know something else. Whether it's me or you, witnessing to somebody or whatever. When you speak the word of God, it's God's word no matter who's speaking it, and it will reproduce after its own kind. It is his word. And when you speak it, it's released, God watches over it and performs it and does exactly what it says he would do. It's, say this, I speak God's word.
I speak God's word.
It's his word.
It's his word.
And he shows up.
And he shows up.
Yeah. He is present in his word, the word of God. Do you know that the nature of the word is to be made flesh in your life, is to become your reality, to replace and renovate your mind? You know what renovate means? When we renovated this place, I mean, carpets came up, walls came down, wiring was done, HVAC and everything to accommodate the new dimensions and everything, We ripped stuff out, painted, it was totally renovated. That's what that word, when we're transformed by the renewing of your mind, that word renewing means renovate. It means out with the old and in with the new. It's the law of displacement. You displace deception with the truth. You displace the old with the new. You allow the word of God to form your thoughts and conform it with his thoughts of you. David said, I can't even count the thoughts that he has for me. So he's present in his word. He's present in his name. Next time you're sitting in a restaurant, nice crowded restaurant, just stand up and say, Jesus loves you. Jesus is here. Jesus is good. Jesus will heal you. You're either going to get an empty restaurant or an audience. You're not. Why? Why? Because the name of Jesus has him inside of it. And it's either fight or flight. You know, they're either going to sit and listen or they're going to run away. But either they'll give you a lot of room or they'll cozy up to you and say, preach it, brother.
Yes, that's right. Well, there's a third option. They might show you the door.
That happened to him a lot. You know? I used to say this, that the Pharisees wore those robes so, you know, they could hide. They carried rocks. They were ready to stone him. And can you imagine being Jesus and seeing one of these guys and going,
wow.
You remember Sanford and Son?
Yeah.
And what was his sister, Ethel, I think?
Yeah.
Ethel, was it? And that picture he had of her, she was like this. Well, that's the face of a Pharisee right there. That's one of my favorite shows. I love those guys. And Lamont, man. Oh, dear. But God is present in his name when we speak his name. And all of those people in that restaurant, if they're not born again, they are governed by the god of this world and all the demons of this world. They say, well, you mean they're monsters? No, they're just deceived. Because they're kept in deception, locked in deception by the god of this world and all of his minions. And they're all controlled. And they know something. That in his name is power, and they know that he has conferred that power to you, the church. And he knows faith when he hears it. And when you speak that name in faith, he has to flee. He doesn't have a choice. Faith! Jesus! I said, Jesus. Jesus. Hey, you remember when Peter, got the guy to walk at the gate beautiful? He said, in the name of Jesus, Ned, rise up and walk. I don't have, but what I have, I give you. You got to understand, you have the name. It's been given to you. You have the name. And he said, don't look on us. It's faith. It's his name and faith in his name that has made this man whole. He even reiterated that to the Sanhedrin. They said, why are you speaking in this name? They tried to get him to stop speaking in that name. Why? Because even they knew, governed by the demons that they were governed by, they knew that that name was a big problem to them. Why? Because he's a big problem to the devil. He defeated him. Say this, my enemies are all defeated. There's no reason for me fighting them. I just talk to them and say, get out of here in the name of Jesus. He is present also, number three, he's present in his attributes. His attributes, what is that? Love. He is love. Joy, peace, endurance, which is the Bible. Patience in the Bible means endurance. It means consistent strength, endurance. That's a huge revelation right there when you realize that when it talks about love in 1 Corinthians 13, endures all things, and his love has been poured out upon you by the Holy Spirit when he gave it to you. So if you're, why do you think he wants us to walk in love? So that we can live up to his standard? No. He wants us to walk in love so that we will endure. We'll have the strength to endure these things and receive his blessing, receive his presence, receive the things that he wants us to have. That's why. Because it endures how many things? All things. Love endures all things. Endurance. You want endurance? Walk in love. You want the joy of the Lord to be your strength? Walk in love. You want the peace of God that calms storms and eliminates all of the trouble that's coming your way? And the devil will see to it. He wants that trouble to come to you. But, you know, when the trouble comes, God has a way of doing this for you. When the devil has you like this, God just comes. You got to cooperate with him. God comes along and goes this. The pressure of life in this world. You can endure all things walking in love. He is present in his attributes. Present in his attributes. He is present in his mercy. That's why his mercy endures to all generations. He's present in his goodness. He's present in his faithfulness. His faithfulness endures to all generations, it says. Because he is love. And that's why he wants you to walk in love. And when you walk in love, you're walking arm in arm with the overcomer of anything that can possibly be overcome. You're walking with the strength that made the entire universe. He makes stars just by laughing. Stars. Planets. A beautifully balanced universe. Except for the asteroids.
They have their role.
I think they're going to hit Russia pretty soon. It's coming. He's present in his word. He's present in his name. He's present in his attributes. And he is present in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, it says this in 1 Corinthians 14. It says, when you prophesy and an unlearned come in... Did I crack a joke? I don't mind you laughing when I'm trying to be funny. Are we good? Okay. Let me in on it later. Just put it on pause. Where was I? 1 Corinthians 14, it says, when the unlearned come in and hears you prophesy, the secrets of his heart are manifest. And he says, of a truth, God is in you. Do you know what Nebuchadnezzar said to Daniel? He fell down on his face when he interpreted the dream and the interpretation. He said, of a truth, the holy God is in you. What did Pharaoh say when Joseph did that? He's present in the gifts of the Spirit. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Turn to Matthew 13. Let's go there. Matthew 13 and verse 9, he said unto them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. God expects us to have ears to hear. Because here's why. He wants us to listen because, look, he is present in his word. How you treat the word is how you treat him. Your attitude towards the word is your attitude towards him. Your opinion of the word is your opinion of him. Look, this is where he who has, not had. When I was a little kid, I believed that. When I was a little kid, I accepted the Lord. Or I'm willing to have ears. No, he who has ears in the present moment, ready, sharp, available to the Lord, ready to do what he says to do. That's what this means. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen? Verse 12 says this. Whosoever has, what? Ears to hear. Go back to verse 9. What's he talking about? This is the whole theme of what he's talking about, hearing. For whosoever has ears to hear, to him shall be given and shall have more abundance. Remember that? Yes. Little acorn? And have more abundance. But whosoever has not ears to hear, it shall be taken from him, even what he has. Why? Because God's going to take it away from him? No, the devil steals it. He comes immediately to steal the word. Those who lack understanding. Verse 19 says this. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes that wicked one and catches away the word which was sown in his heart. Look, when you hear the word of God, receive God's presence in that word. Receive his name in that word. Receive his life. Receive his faith. Receive his ability in that word. You may look at your life and say, man, I'm so messed up, I don't even know where to go. Which way is up or down or whatever. Start. You have the right to hear him and to have his presence in you. You have that right. God gave it to you. It's covenanted. It's redemption backed. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, boy, and understands it not, then comes that wicked one and catches away the word which was sown in his heart. See, the devil stole it, not God. This is why he wants you to have ears to hear, so that you will retain the word and the presence in that word and the life in that word and the power and authority in that word. You can retain it in your heart. You know, there's something innate within every one of us. It says in John chapter 1 that he is light. And it says, he is that light that lights every man that comes into the world. Now, that doesn't mean they're born again. It just means that they have the knowledge that there is a God and he is bigger than me. And if that's it, that's all they got, then they know that there is a God who is there. Praise God. You know, Mark 4, verse 15 says this, and these are they by the wayside where the word was sown, and when they have heard, Satan comes immediately. Oh, this ought to give you some resolve right here. Immediately to take away the word that was sown in their hearts. Immediately. This is how much the devil values the word of God. We need to value it even more. Because he cannot afford to let that word get root in your heart. Because once that word takes root in your heart and you start speaking it, he cannot stop it. No matter how hard he tries, he cannot stop it. When you speak blessing over your life and your family, he can't stop it. He can come against it, but he can't stop it. When you speak blessing over your business, over your workplace and the people that... He can't stop it. You become an influence like Job was an influence. He was a rich, wealthy man who had influence over his community, and the devil, it was driving him nuts. And he had to do something about it. But Job didn't have the same protection that you did. The hedge was down. And the devil didn't even know it. God had to point it out to him. Why? Because God's honest. Not because God wanted to put him out there. God is truth. He's not shades of truth. He is pure light and truth. And so the devil comes to steal, not your money, not your marriage. He comes to steal the word. That's the only thing he cares about. He doesn't care about you. Yeah, he hates you because you are like God. That's why he hates you. But it has nothing personal to do. He wants that word out of you because he knows what that word did to him. And he doesn't want that to happen over and over and over again. Satan comes immediately to catch it away. Then in verse 24, it says this, "And he said to them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear more shall be given." Verse 25, "For he who has," what? "Ears to hear, it to him shall be given. And he that has not ears to hear, from him shall be taken that which he has." Go back to Matthew 13, verse 19. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes that wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart." And then in verse 15, Jesus said, "Look, this people's heart is waxed gross." That's a different meaning than our gross. Although I could be right. I guess it depends on where you send your kids to school. "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and be converted, and I would heal." God wanted to heal all of them. God wanted all of them to be turned in their heart towards him. God wanted them all to see themselves as he sees them. God wants to be involved in their life. But when they close their eyes, he's not going to force it on them. Oh, this ought to be the best news you ever heard. Because if you open your eyes and you get your heart sharp with God, I mean, what's the limit? There is none. Is there any limit to his blessing? You know, there's no bottom to sin. It just gets worse and worse. Well, the blessing of God gets better and better and better. It just gets better all the time, and you get stronger all the time. And you walk with the ever-present one who lives in you, walks in you, and has his being in you. And all of his power and all of his glory is in you. And all you got to do is say, "Jesus," and the devil runs. There he goes. Out of your business, out of your life, out of your phone, out of your computer, out of your house, out of your yard. You know, Kenneth Copeland once did that once. He got this little sign and put it up in his yard and said, "Satan, keep out." And he was sitting in that little shack one time, and the devil's trying to compress, you know, is trying to bring up all of these needs, and he was poor. He and Gloria, I mean, they were living in what? Nothing. And they had nothing when they started. And look what God did for him. But anyhow, he was sitting there and he was discouraged as something up, and he just started saying, "I don't know. I'll probably be the richest man there ever was." And you know what? The devil just left. He can't. Look, when you start declaring what God declares, you have an agreement with heaven, and it's ready to explode in his face. And when you take this word and you put it up in the devil's face and right between his eyes, constantly, consistently, and just declare it and declare it and declare it, He has nothing to do except leave. You are so valuable to God. God's love is so full for you. God's plans for you are so outlandish that even if you had one little corner of it, it would be the best thing that you ever saw in your life. He is good. He is full. He is rich. And you know what? Everything that is stopping that from happening in your life, he's already dealt with and brought it to nothing. You just got to find out about it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now you can stop right there. Now, faith is. you can stop there too. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. How many of you read the word of the week that we sent out in the week this week? We dealt with this too. Now is the present tense. Present tense. Faith is a present action. Is refers to the always present, ever present, always abiding in the now faith, the spirit of faith. Faith is a spirit, by the way. And it is part of, it's part of God. It's part of who he is. We, say this, we having the same spirit of faith,
according as it is written,
I have believed,
therefore have I spoken.
We also believe,
and therefore speak.
And what happens? We have what we say.
Yes.
It works in the positive, it works in the negative. It works in the faith realm, it works in the unbelief realm. It works in confidence, it works in fear. It works either way. You decide what you want. Here's the now. The now is the present. Let's go to that, John. Now. Say now.
Now.
Now. Now, there's an anagram for that. Now stands for new. The N stands for new. The O stands for opportunities. And the W stands for window. It's your new opportunities window. That's what faith is. So you can stand in the now and see the future and declare the future in the now. Declare the blessing. You may be feeling cursed. You can speak the blessing through that window of your faith in the now. And you can speak it and it will be there in the future. You can speak it now just as if you had that window. That's what the Word of God does. It opens up your eyes to the future, to the potential and the power of the living faith that is in you. It requires action on your part. You need to believe it, receive it, speak it, and act on it. And it's a window to the future that God has given you. And that's your window, is the window of faith. Isn't that rich?
Yes.
Isn't that good? The present is the envelope in which we live and move and have our being. And since God is not the I was or will be, he is the I am. He is in the now with you. He is in the present tense with you. He is the ever-present God, the mighty one, the greater one, who is now and always will be now. He is the now God. He's now. Ever-present, breath, pulse, life of God in you. Now faith is. Faith is now. Now faith is. Faith always operates in the now. The problem is that people think it operates either sometime in the past or sometime in the future. Never now. You see the deception there? And God says, everything is now. I am now. My faith is now. My blessings are now. It's all now. You want a new future? Look through that window of faith and declare it. Let the vision of God form in your heart. Let his plan form in your heart. Let what his purpose is for you develop in your heart and start looking through that window and speaking it into existence. And the devil can't stop it no matter how hard he tries. Why? Because it's released and it will reproduce after its own kind. Faith produces faith. The Word of God produces what God's plans and blessing, his very life. And by the time you get there, it'll already be a harvest. And there'll be a new window from there. And it only gets better and brighter and gooder and more better and multiplies and compounds and everything until you're so running over and the world's people, what are you doing? He said, don't look at me. Look at my Father. Because whatever I have came from him. And you can have the same thing because he's no respecter of persons. You look at your present tense right now. Get the word of God. Open that window and start speaking his blessing into your future. And you're free, 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 free. And you have the authority to do it. He's present in his word. He's present in his name. He's present in his attributes. They were inside of you. They're built in you with a new creation. And he is present in the gifts of the Spirit. His presence filled this place when Lori prophesied that this morning. Oh, don't forbid prophecy. You miss the life of the body. The pulse of God that's in the body. I bet you're glad you came today. I know I am. I learned a lot. Now is where the blessing of God is received for tomorrow's wonders. Look at your tomorrow. It just say it's, I'm looking at a wonder. Even if it can't get any worse for you right now, it can't get any worse. Good. Okay. That's a good place to start. Dig in there and start looking through that window. And you say, look at this. Everything I put my hand to will prosper. I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who stands for me in heaven. I have a voice in heaven. I have the ear of the Father. He can work all things together for my good. Everything. Everything. That means the devil, take your hands off of everything. Just fellowship with the Father. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. What comes by hearing? That which we have heard, that which we have looked upon. That which we have seen with our... And what? Handled. That's the process of manifestation. That which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. For the life was manifested. And dwelt among us. And now he dwells in us, in you, in me. Where your feet go, the sole of his feet go. Look at, in fact, Ezekiel chapter 43. This just occurred to me. Ezekiel, go back a few pages from that. And verse 7 says this. And he started dealing with Ezekiel about Jerusalem and the temple. He said, and he said to me, son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. The soles of his feet hit the ground when your feet hit the ground. Boy, that's so tender. He says, I want the soles of my feet. I want the soles of his feet. Guiding me, leading me, bringing me to where I want to. Did you get anything out of this morning? Yes. God loves you so much. And no matter what your past is, who cares? We've all failed. I mean, Lori and I have been pastoring for what, six years now. And then we've been in ministry long before that too. And we've made our mistakes. We've failed at times. I mean, we're not bragging or anything on us, but I will brag on God. I will boast of the Lord, and I'll say that he doesn't deal with us according as we are. He deals with us according to his rich mercy and his rich grace. And all he wants us to do is activate that grace by believing his word. It is by grace through faith. And that faith lives in you. Stir it up! Stir it up! Stir it up! Oh, he's happy. God's happy. Are you happy? Father, we thank you for the word that changes everything, for the word that brings light, the word that brings power, the word that brings your presence into every situation we face. And we can go boldly and confidently into every situation, knowing that you have already gone before us because you lead us. And we know your voice, and we hear your voice, and you lead us, and we follow. And we speak your word into our future, and we speak blessing, peace, joy, the love that we will not just know about, but we will experience and live in these things because you are our God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, if you need prayer for anything else,